I'm looking elsewhere, what the Department of Health has said to us yesterday in this statement. They say, unless the woman herself provides the information, a health professional is unlikely to be able to tell whether a miscarriage has occurred naturally or has been caused by these drugs.
That's absolutely right. That's where the don't ask, I won't ask you, and you won't tell me. And we'll go from there. That's not a good start to a very intimate relationship
but
healthcare professionals have with the women that they're caring for.
But surely what you want, I'm presuming this as a, probably as a presenter, as a citizen, what you want to do when you get into any hospital is give doctors and nurses as much information as possible about your condition. You don't want to be sitting thinking legalese, do you, if you're sick?
And unfortunately, in this particular case, and I have to say that as a medical professional taking care of you, every professional would like to have that information as well. But that puts both of you then in an untenable position, because the law, the Serious Crime Act, is quite clear that you must report any crime which attaches to it more than a 5-year prison sentence, or you yourself face criminal proceedings. It's like somebody coming into casualty and they have been shot. You have to report that. It is in that, it's in that sort of arena. But it's wider than just nurses and midwives working in hospitals. If you're a school nurse, for example, and you're in doing vaccinations and somebody comes flying through the door and says, nurse, nurse, quick, quick, my friend is bleeding to death in the toilet. She bought these tablets on the internet and I told her not to do it, but she did, and now she's bleeding to death. Now, that isn't even the woman herself giving that information. That's somebody else giving the information. And once you know it, you can't unknow it. You can't not know it. It is a very difficult circle to square, and the guidance doesn't help.
But once you know it, you've got to pick up the phone to the police.
Well, exactly. And the guidance doesn't give an algorithm or a format for following this through. So it talks about the need to provide professional care and treatment to the woman, and that obviously is everybody's first priority. And despite all of the risk of prosecution, I would appeal now to any woman or girl who feels herself in the need of a medical attention, no matter what she's done, please go and seek that help from the most relevant person, whether it's your GP or an emergency department or a maternity admission unit. Please go and get that help. And if you can
remember
not to say anything when you get there, that would be even more helpful. But it's not satisfactory, Stephen. And that relationship should be built on mutual trust. And any healthcare professional should be able to get a full history, including any medication that the woman may have taken.
So what is,
without any fear for either of the two parties.
Breda, let me cut to the chase here. What is the advice from the Royal College of Midwives if someone has taken these tablets? Does the Royal College of Midwives think that they should disclose that to a doctor or not?
No.
So don't tell.
It is don't tell. At this moment in time, it is don't tell. Until we can find a way around this requirement to report, I would advise women to seek the help that they need. And the guidance is right in terms of it is almost impossible to distinguish between a miscarriage that is a spontaneous miscarriage and a miscarriage that is an induced miscarriage.
Well, let me look at a possible problem as to what you've just said, because the Department of Health themselves say that look, these pills, we don't know the origin of some of these pills, do we? Especially if people are ordering them from the internet. We simply don't know what's in them. Some of them might not be safe. Some of them may be. Who knows if you're ordering anything off the internet? We all know that. So for the Royal College of Midwives this morning, through you, to say, look, don't tell a doctor you've taken those pills. Surely that information could be vital in a hypothetical situation where someone has ordered pills off the internet.
And they're taking something that's completely unrelated to their condition. I couldn't agree more, Stephen.
But you're telling people not to tell the doctor they've taken them.
The difficulty is, as soon as they say that they have taken these pills, they will get the care and the treatment that they need. But another process will then kick in, because the healthcare professional, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a doctor, a midwife, a nurse, will be obliged to report it, because abortion is still a criminal act with a very high sentence attached to it, potentially, in the UK. And I have to say that this particular provision about women taking pills on the net doesn't just apply in Northern Ireland. This also applies to women elsewhere in the UK, where it is also a growing problem, because despite the access, much easier access to free abortion services in the UK, some women, for their own reasons, choose not to access those services and will be buying pills from the internet and procuring their own abortion in England, Scotland and Wales. They equally are subject to this requirement, where they it's a criminal act and those particular...
Well, no, I don't understand. I didn't think it was illegal to take these pills across the water. Are you saying it is?
It absolutely is, yes. The 1967 Act doesn't legalise abortion in GB. It provides the medical staff with a defence against prosecution. But it sets out very clearly the circumstances in which abortion is lawful in England. It must be in a designated clinic or hospital, must be seen by two doctors. There are, you know, there are very clear legal requirements to be met. If you don't meet those legal requirements, if you take yourself outside of that framework for example, getting pills from the internet, then you are liable to be prosecuted in GB as well.
Well, that's really interesting, actually. All the territory around this, and it's a very emotional subject. We've concentrated on it all week, rightly so in my view, because, my goodness, what does someone do?
Well, the Royal College of Midwives nationally has called for the decriminalisation of abortion for that very simple reason. If a woman is afraid to present herself for medical help, and because she's afraid of the consequences, because she's afraid that she might be prosecuted, we are petrified that we will then begin to see a rise in the number of women who are dying from hemorrhage or because the miscarriage hasn't been a complete miscarriage. There's a little bit of something left behind and it becomes infected and the woman can potentially die from sepsis. This is an issue right across the world, especially in third world countries, and where women are in Central America, for example, women are afraid to go to the doctor with a spontaneous miscarriage in case they are reported to the police.
I'm reading some of these Department of Health guidelines. Paragraph 6.4, as in any other area of clinical practice, health and social care professionals will need to balance the interests of their patient against the public interest in reporting certain information to the police.
And that itself is at odds with the requirement to report.
Well, precisely.
It's not for a midwife in an admissions unit to make that balance. But it's not for her to decide
how
it's in the public interest to report this.
How does a midwife determine what... what I would say to the Department of Health this morning, in their guidelines that they have drawn up, how about them trying to balance the interests and give some direction? How about the Health Minister, Simon Hamilton? How would he balance the interests of the patient against the public interest in reporting certain information to the police?
And you have about 3 seconds.
What on earth does that mean? What does that mean? How do you balance it? Well, is it a point system? What do you do?
And you need to know what the law is. You need to be able to determine what the public interest is. This is the one area of these guidelines. We very generally welcome these guidelines. They are a very clear exposition of the law, and by and large, they will work very well for nurses, midwives and doctors out there at the coalface. But this whole issue of women taking abortifacients that they have bought on the web is still an absolute minefield. Now, the chief medical officer has called a working group together to have a look at how now that we've got the guidelines, how do we use them in practice, if you like. So that will give us all an opportunity to sit around a table and give some collective thought as to how do we square that circle.
Has that working group been formed yet?
It's in the process of being pulled together.
Right.
But it's one of those areas where we are going to have, as a group of professionals, to thrash this one out. But in the meantime, it would appear that the department is saying, if you read between the lines and all of this, don't ask. As the professional looking after the woman, don't ask. As the woman who's presenting for treatment, don't tell.
What a dilemma presented to medical staff, some of whom, the vast majority of whom, will not have legal understanding of this. It's not what they do. An absolute dilemma presented to a medical person coming into work, trying to do their best, and they're now told by the Department of Health and their guidelines that they need to balance the interests of their patient against the public interest in reporting certain information to the police. As a member of public listening to this morning, how would you balance that? Here's the number, 0330 80 55 55. Then, to be fair to the department, they have to operate within the law as it stands here. In Northern Ireland, terminating a pregnancy through online drugs is illegal, and we know that this week's court verdict establishes that.